Good afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. We're here each Sunday at noon. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. And remember to download our Condo Craze and HOAs app for your iPhone or Android device. App does a lot of things when you put it on your phone. Now you can get immediate access to all the Florida laws governing community associations, whether it's condos, HOAs, even co-ops. You get the Florida Administrative Code as well. Should definitely come in handy during a busy election season. You can listen to any past Condo Craze show instantly. Go to the show's website, see who our sponsors are. A great one in the house today. You can go directly to the website for Glazer & Associates and find out more about our law firm. Instantly send us your questions and comments live while we're on the air. Read our prior newsletters. Register for our seminars. We'll talk about that in a minute. And, of course, read of all our blog articles that we publish online every single Monday morning without fail. Tomorrow's topic, the Florida Business Judgment Rule. Directors definitely want to read that tomorrow and find out how the Florida courts protect you when you serve on a board. And again, all this is now in one Condo Craze and HOAs app for your iPhone or for your Android device. Give it a try. Let us know what you think. And of course, if you want to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855, the number 4 Condo Craze. Again, 855, the number 4 Condo Craze, and the law firm's website, condo-laws.com. Again, condo-laws.com. And hey, just before we start today, I just want to really say a heartfelt thank you to everybody who attended yesterday's board certification class and day of education at the Hard Rock Hotel in Hollywood. Our numbers, I think, were the best ever yesterday. Nearly 400 directors and officers showed up at 7 o'clock in the morning, no less, on a Saturday. To attend our classes, and to say that that is an honor and a privilege is an understatement. It really seemed that everybody had a great time taking the class and all of the other classes that were taught by so many of our sponsors. We had breakfast and lunch for everybody, and really was a fun day, and I'm honored that everybody actually showed up like that.
Yeah, it really was a tremendous amount of people, Eric, and congratulations to everybody that, you know, came out
certified
and helped out. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And also, everybody was out there, and they helped raise money for a very good cause that Eric's been helping out with. It's called the Pantry of Broward.
Yeah, thanks, Scott, for saying that. Earlier in the week, I had the honor of being asked to serve as a director of the Pantry of Broward, which is a charitable organization that helps feed hundreds of poor families throughout Broward County. And, you know, we do these days of education for free. We certainly never charge for it. But we did it this time. We asked our attendees if they'd be kind enough just to bring some peanut butter and jelly or make a similar monetary donation as long as they were coming. And I can tell you, they didn't disappoint. You have to see how much peanut butter and jelly the pantry walked away with yesterday.
Oh my God,
it'll be
that's
feeding
fantastic
people for a long time. So really, a double thank you to everybody who was kind enough and helped the people that needed it most yesterday. Thank you very, very much.
Wow. Well, last week, we spoke about the fact that it's oftentimes difficult to obtain personal liability against a director, even when a director's actions were clearly wrong.
Yeah, and I think we made it clear, and I know Eric's blog later this week will make it clear, that the public policy behind, you know, keeping people from being personally liable is that we want to encourage people to serve on a board of directors. And if they're able to just be sued for any little mistake that they might make, well, that would prevent pretty good, decent, qualified people from wanting to participate in their association's administration.
Yeah, and that's certainly the last thing we want to do. And that's why, you know, the law is pretty clear that a director or an officer, you can't be sued individually unless there's some allegation of fraud, criminal wrongdoing, you know, self-interest, willful disregard of someone's safety. You know, no two ways about it. You know, some examples, of course, that you would think make sense to get sued for. If you steal from the association, obviously you can get sued individually. If you take a kickback, then obviously you're going to be on the hook for that. If you go after somebody personally because you have a personal vendetta against them, you know, you tow their cars while you let other people commit the same violations and you don't tow theirs, that's, you know, intentionally going after somebody, then yes, those are the types of things you're going to get sued for. Almost everything else, again, you're off the hook because of the statute and the Florida business judgment rule. But let's go in a different direction today. And when a condo association gets a letter from the Department of Business and Professional Regulation that accuses the board of failing to do something correctly, you know, the DBPR is going to tell you basically that their ultimate goal is to have the association simply going forward and comply with the law. They really don't want to harm the community with a huge fine or a monetary penalty of any kind, but there is an exception to that rule, isn't there, Scott?
Yeah, there is. And just touching on what you just said, Eric, when you hit the association with a fine, it hits all the people that pay the association's assessments with a fine, who most likely had nothing to do with whatever the problem was, correct?
Right, exactly, of course.
Yeah, but that exception you're talking about, well, you know, it's a big one. And we're now in that time of year where all Florida community associations are required to prepare their year-end financial statement for their owners to view. And now, despite the fact that the DBPR doesn't want to, you know, persecute anyone in particular, when it comes to failing to file the year-end financial statements, the DBPR will not hesitate to impose fines for failing to keep the community advised of where their money's going.
Yeah, they made that very clear yesterday. Lazaro Gonzalez made that pretty clear at the seminar. That's the one area that they will not fool around. Associations get very little slack in that regard. So to help us today in finding out what associations must be doing right now, this time of year, in order to comply with the law in this regard and to comply with the requirements of preparing your annual budget, we have a longtime sponsor of the show. I always refer to Mark as CPA extraordinaire, Mark Gerstel from the accounting firm of Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg. Hey, Mark, thanks for coming in today, and thank you for being such a longtime sponsor of the show and for educating everybody always at all of our events. Much appreciated.
Eric, it's we really appreciate the opportunity, and yesterday was really special to participate with that.
Oh, I can tell you, everybody loved to hear what you had to say. When you were talking, you can hear a pin drop in the audience. Everybody truly, truly respects your opinion in this regard. But, you know, here we go again. A lot of associations, if they haven't gone through it already, they're going through sending out the annual budget, you know, all the associations out there in Florida. And we spend a lot of time talking about reserves yesterday, and we spent a lot of time talking about it on the show over the last few weeks. So let's just educate some of our listeners first. You know, bottom line, when they send out the budget this year, and I'm sure it's something you educate your clients on all the time, once and for all, does the budget have to include full funding of reserves when you put that budget originally in the mail? And we're talking about condos. Let's start with that.
Okay, absolutely. The proposed budget, not necessarily the adopted budget, right, but the proposed budget must show what it would cost to include reserves and what our reserves are comprised of.
Right. And just briefly, a lot of associations don't use a reserve company to actually come up with a figure. What's your thoughts? You think it's a good idea, you know, to use some sort of a professional service in order to get an idea of what they should be reserving?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I know they rely on management as a professional service to go through their operating budget, and usually the reserve budget's just as big in terms of dollars. So it's very useful information, even though it's not always 100% accurate. And it's something that the boards can say, hey, we didn't do this, management didn't do this. This is from a professional, so it makes sense for us to follow his guidelines.
Hey, that's why the companies are out there. I agree. And interestingly enough, the law doesn't require the board to even give the owners a chance to waive the full funding of reserve accounts. So I always say this, if a board wants to push down the throats of the owners fully funded reserves, the bottom line is, They're going to get them. If the board wants reserves in their budget, the board, you know, is going to put out that budget only showing fully funded reserves, and then the unit owners would have to call a meeting on their own to actually have them waived. Very, very difficult. But in a condo, please verify, you know, what happens when if they don't vote in favor of reserves completely, or they don't even vote in favor of reducing these reserves, what happens?
Well, then the reserves are included in the budget, and they will get billed in their maintenance fees, usually around 10% more than they're paying without reserves. So they're going to feel it in the pocketbook. It's going to be a part of the adopted budget.
Right. It's a bottom line. Like it or not, those reserves are going to go into the budget. But a little different in an HOA, just to tell everybody quickly off the cuff. A lot of people are unsure of how it works in an HOA. In an HOA, there's a couple of different ways that reserves can make itself into the budget. The developer could have put them there to begin with. The unit owners can vote to put them in the budget. And once they do that, it's got to be in the budget each and every year going forward. And then a lot of HOA boards don't know this either. The board, as a board, has the right to actually include reserves in the budget as well. But there's a statutory cap. Oh, there is a limit, I should say. If there's a limit in your governing documents as to how much your assessments can go up, then that might be a restriction on the amount of reserves that you can include in your budget. But yes, it can go into an HOA budget as well, reserves. But whereas in a condo, it's a shall standard. In an HOA, that's not necessarily the case. Well, let's do this. Let's take our first break of the hour. I see the calls are starting to back up. Great time, everybody. If you have questions about your budget, about finances, we have the man to ask the questions. Mark Erstel's in the house. So give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
If you've ever thought your management company puts their interest ahead of your association's, speak to Condominium Concepts Management. Get in touch with a professional management company that doesn't own other companies they try to push on your community. Condominium Concepts simply negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all of the savings are simply passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help your association, not take control of it. Nobody knows your condominium community better than you do. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time where every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye toward reducing expenses in your community and saving every unit owner money. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners, always applying a common-sense approach. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Need insurance for your condo or HOA? How about getting a question answered by your agent without it taking days or weeks? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz, because we specialize in providing insurance to condo associations and homeowners associations and are a clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989 and has written over $70 million in insurance premiums. And we're an independent insurance agency representing many insurance companies, which means we can provide the best coverage at the best price. Mack, Mack & Waltz can also provide insurance to unit owners, homeowners, the association, and even auto, boat, life, and health insurances. Our staff consists of licensed professionals, some of whom hold designations such as Certified Risk Manager and Certified Insurance Counselor. And in the event disaster strikes, Mack, Mack & Waltz is quick to respond. Our offices have their own generator and our own management system is web-based, so we can operate anywhere we have an internet connection. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your customer service, visit our website, mackinsurance.com, or call 954-640-6225. Mack, Mack & Waltz. Remember us when it comes to insurance.
Never wait for that first drop of water to come through your ceiling before you decide that it's time to check your roof. Once damage has set in, repairs can get much more expensive. Making a moderate investment in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing is the ultimate way to protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure and limit consequential damages due to unexpected roof problems. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with their annual service agreements that prevents leaks, provides emergency service, and increases the life expectancy of your roof. Best Roofing provides roof condition surveys and comprehensive detailed recommendations. They outline your priorities and give you a realistic budget, so there's no unwelcome surprises. Best Roofing service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, performing minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking and minor counter flashing repair, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Or visit online at bestroofing.net. That's bestroofing.net.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer and Associates PA. And we're taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And we do have Mark Gerstle in the studio with us.
How about we take our first call from Kitty in Hollandale? How are you, Kitty? Kitty?
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Eric. Thank you so much for a wonderful seminar yesterday. It was very, very informative, and as always, you are great.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Let me ask you this. Are you currently serving on a board?
Yes.
All right. Question for you. Now that you've actually taken a certification class...
I did it last year as well.
And you did it as well. Okay, tell me your thoughts. Do you think it's something that board members should be required to take?
Yes, definitely.
You feel you learned a lot from it yesterday, and it's going to help you as a board member going forward?
Yep.
Well, what do you think about the people that sign that silly affidavit and get certified that way, rather than taking a class? Is it an easy man's way out?
I'm sorry?
What do you think about the people that don't bother to take the seminar but still want to remain on the board?
Well, they don't know the law. They should know it.
Yeah,
If you want to be on the board, if you want to serve, you should know what you're doing.
I gotcha.
And you have to do it right. According to the statutes.
Well, you feel like you learned something about the statutes yesterday?
Yep.
Kitty, thank you so much. Really glad that you called in and said that, all right?
Thank you very much.
You got it. All right, let's get back to Mark. Before we went to the commercial break, of course, we were talking about preparing the year-end budget and the fact that it has to include reserves in a condo. And, Mark, we were talking during the break and whether or not there's a change. When the foreclosure crisis was at an all-time high, it was kind of difficult to get condominium associations to have a budget that included reserves. They were routinely being voted down, I guess. Do you find that now the foreclosure crisis calmed down a little bit, are associations starting to put reserves back into their budgets?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a different trend that most associations now are not waiving reserves, which leads to the inevitable special assessments, including a lot of times bank loans and special assessments. So they are funding reserves, even though not necessarily 100% of funding based on estimate.
The money's a little more available now than it used to be, I guess.
Bad debt is coming out of some budgets, and they're replacing that with reserves.
Yeah, I think Scott and I always said that when money is tight, you know, there's a whole bunch of collection cases that a law firm is doing, but when money starts to get better and association has more money on hand, you start seeing litigation go up. Suddenly, you know, violations are not being overlooked by the community, and they're more apt to start litigating those types of issues because they have, you know, money to actually fight these cases. But in light of the foreclosure crisis that you're talking about, another hot topic, and again, we spoke about this yesterday, is whether or not the association should actually have a line item in their budget that lists what's referred to as bad debt. And basically, as we said, bad debt is an amount of money that the association probably won't collect from the delinquent unit owners this coming year. And if you can explain why you think, I know the DBPR takes the same position, why you think every single budget for an association should have a line item known as bad debt?
Well, I think the key that you mentioned there is that we're not going to collect it this year. The way the court systems are, we may collect it in 2 or 3 years, but our budget cycle is 12 months. And if we're going to spend $100,000 for the year, I need to have $100,000 to spend. So if I'm not going to collect 10%, I better assess people $110,000.
Sure. You're not being honest with yourself if you don't include a line item for bad debt, I would take it.
We virtually see every community with some form of bad debt. It's very rare to have none, almost impossible.
Sure. I mean, back in the day, it might have been 30, 40, 50%. But even now, most associations are somewhere in the neighborhood of 10%. So if you don't budget for that 10% that you're not going to collect accurately, at the end of the year, you're going to run short, and what are they going to have to do, Mark, which nobody wants to do?
They're going to have to assess again.
Yeah, that nobody wants that special assessment. I see we got a call from Ron in Fort Lauderdale. He has a budget question. How are you, Ron?
Hi, how are you?
How can we help?
My question is on show expenses in the auditorium for the bands and singing groups, and we have that in our budget, in the monthly budget,
right.
$44,000 a year.
Right.
And then they only charge you $3 to get in, but you could never fit everybody in.
Right.
Is this allowed by state law?
You know, I'll tell you what I've had this recently in an association. I can tell you sometimes you got to look at the bylaws of the association, because the bylaws generally give very broad powers and duties to some boards of directors to include these types of expenses in their budget. So, Mark, I'll ask you, is it something that you've seen, like entertainment type of expenses for communities that are routinely found in budgets?
Yeah, absolutely. If it's a very active community, I absolutely think it enhances value and attracts prospective owners, so I think it's a positive thing.
Yeah, and that's regardless of whether or not, not everybody chooses to participate. Listen, I also take the position, a lot of people choose not to use the swimming pool, or they choose not to use the tennis courts. The bottom line is, though, the maintenance and upkeep of those have to be paid by those people, even if they don't use them. So,
I agree to all that, but let's talk about that particular thing that's in your, like the pool, is
right.
In the documents. This was something that was voted on only by the board
right.
to include, and not by the people.
Yeah, again,
this is a change. That was a change that was actually made to the budget that wasn't voted by the people.
Well,
I thought it would have needed a change.
I don't think so. Going forward, bottom line is that the board has usually wide authority to include things in the budget that help run the operation of the association, that help lead to the better health, welfare, and safety, of the community.
Oh, no disagreement.
And if a board has some latitude in thinking that better enhances the community, as what Mark says, and actually increases value of the property and things of that nature, I think the board definitely has some latitude in that regard.
Well, I just look at some of the boards that don't have that.
Right.
And they have to charge $20 to get in, of course.
Right.
But if it's like, I think, Kings Point, if they don't get enough people to buy tickets to the show is canceled.
Right.
I think most places work like that. That's what I was just wondering about.
Yeah. There's certainly no prohibition under the statute as far as I'm concerned. I don't think there is. And what's even better enhances the board's ability to do that sometime is very broad language that you might find, again, in their bylaws that gives them the authority to do this. So I appreciate the call, Ron, but the phones are actually backing up. Hey, let's get back to you, Mark. I see Bob, you're on hold, and Elizabeth, you're on hold. We'll be with you in a minute. Lots of associations also have foreclosed on units and homes in their community, and a lot of them have gotten into the rental business, so to speak. They're renting out their properties, and I see you're asked this question all the time at our events. How does that rental income that they receive, where should it be reflected on their association's financial statements? How should it be treated?
Yes and no. There's really two ways to answer that. The rental income, and some people feel, and sometimes there are mandates in an agreement, that the rental income must be applied against the old balances. We see a lot of associations take the position, one which we encourage, is that to show the rental income as income that you receive going forward, again, against offsetting the bad debt maintenance fee for that month, because you do have rental expenses. So
right.
instead of applying against the old balance, we'd rather use that money to offset some of the expenses we incur for the additional time that we have to spend for rentals.
Gotcha. Hey, let's do this. Let's take Elizabeth from Boca. How are you, Elizabeth?
Good, thank you. In the case of an HOA with only with board only established reserves over a over a 30-plus year period, no developer established, no owner vote for reserves, is there anything in the statute prohibiting the board from taking money from the reserve account to put into the operating account or not funding the reserves for a period of time during the budget year when the budget specified a specific amount for reserves, including specifying how much for each
okay, yes.
entity?
The, okay, yes. Okay, a lot of questions all in one, but the bottom line is you have a situation in an HOA where the board has voted in their own budget to include reserves. So the question, I think one of your questions was, can they now take that the money that's in the budget for reserves and use it for purposes other than the reserves? Absolutely not. And yes, that is in the statute. Once the board decides to actually collect for a reserve account, those reserve funds have to be segregated and have to be treated, you know, just as reserve funds should be treated under the statute. And no, the board cannot move those funds from, let's say, reserve to operating unless there is a vote of the unit owners in that regard which gives the board permission to do so.
What statute specifies that?
I'm going to look that up during the break, and Elizabeth, I will tell you the answer to that as soon as we get back from our bottom of the hour break. How about we do that?
Also, not funding the reserves for a period of time.
Bottom line is if your budget calls for it, they better be funding it. And where's
Thank
the money
you.
Going? Okay?
Thank you.
You got it. Let's do this. Let's actually take our bottom of the hour break because when we get back, Mark, I want to get right back into the year-end financial reporting requirements for associations, and the clock is ticking, I understand, in that regard. Taking your calls for Mr. Gerstle, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
So many management companies promising that they can help your community. How do you know which one to choose? How about starting with the one that has provided management services to communities in the Tri-County area for over 35 years? How about starting with Association Services of Florida? As part of the Associa family, Association Services of Florida has a service-driven dedication to five-star customer response, an unparalleled investment in employee education, and unrivaled success in residential and community association management. Associations and residents alike look to Association Services of Florida's value-added services, attention to detail, and local expertise for continuous community improvement. Our mission statement says it best. Providing unsurpassed management and lifestyle services to communities worldwide, Association Services of Florida's superior senior management team has more than 55 years of combined experience managing communities and providing expert support to management, staff, and board of directors. For a free personal meeting at your community and to find out how Associa can help your condo or HOA, give us a call at 1-800-714-3514. Again, that's 1-800-714-3514. And visit our website at AssociaFlorida.com. Find out for yourself why Associa provides the most value per management dollar in the community association management industry.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. The low-cost, practical solution to repairing aging pipes and sewer problems. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies. 561-853-5463. 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
This is South Florida's number one local choice. 850 WFTL, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Miami.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officers and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Bugged about the bugs in your condo or HOA? Creeped out by the creepy crawlers in your community? Tired of termites? At Diligent Lawn and Pest Control, they understand your needs and know you want to rid your home of unhealthy and destructive pests while minimizing the chemicals used in your environment. That's why they've developed the pest prevention services with the most technologically advanced products and application methods in the industry today. Since no two homes or communities are alike, your service is designed with your particular situation in mind. After a thorough inspection of the premises, they apply the appropriate state-of-the-art products in the places necessary to solve your problem. The pledge is to make your home and community environment pest-free. Diligent will gladly come back between scheduled services and retreat at no additional cost to you. To control covered pests in and around your home. Your complete satisfaction is always guaranteed. Whether it's routine pest control, termite problems, pre-construction services, or lawn and tree care, Diligent is there to help you anywhere in the state. Make sure to visit them on the internet and take advantage of the online coupons at diligentpest.com or call toll-free 800-487-8190. That's diligentpest.com or 800-487-8190. Want great no-nonsense customer service? Then get in touch with Diligent Pest Control today.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro. And Mark Gerstle is our guest in the studio. We're taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Talking about reserves.
Absolutely. An important time of year to be talking about all this. And Mark, the DBPR really thought it's important when they started allowing these types of seminars that we teach to talk a lot about the association's responsibility for year-end financial reporting to all of their owners. You know, basically what's going on with the association in terms of everybody's money. So let's talk a little bit about that. What type of year-end financial reports do both condos and HOAs have to prepare each and every year without exception, you know, for their members? And I know the law has changed in terms of the types of requirements that have to be filed for each association, depending upon how big their budget is.
Correct. It's a function of the size of their revenues, their annual revenues. I think the DPBR has stressed it, Eric, because if there is no financial statement going out year after year, that's a real red flag for something bad going on.
Sure.
But when we get down to it, the DPBR raised the level now for a compilation for revenues between $150,000 and $300,000.
All right, so if your budget's small, starts off between $150,000 to $300,000 every year, everybody's required to do what's called a compilation. You know, quick, what's a compilation generally?
A compilation really says take the numbers that management provides and organize them in the form of a financial statement with footnotes and schedules. So we don't change the numbers, we don't analyze the numbers, but we make them look like a financial statement.
Okay, so there's not much assurance that goes into it in terms of whether or not the numbers are correct.
No assurance.
Okay, so let's keep going. So now you're going in, you're doing the work for a little larger association, and now their budget is about $300,000 or in excess of $300,000. Different type of report is now prepared.
Right. Between $300,000 and $500,000, you're required to do a reviewed financial. A reviewed financial is a higher level. There is assurance that the statements are reasonable and accurate, but they are not certified. Review relies really on management representation and historical analysis or budget analysis. It doesn't rely on third-party confirmations, for example.
Okay, so obviously as the amount of the association's budget goes up and increases, I guess so does the amount of detail that has to wind up in that year-end financial report. So that brings us to budgets actually in excess of $500,000. What's required from these larger associations?
Just one point, Eric. It's not only the budget. If there is an assessment, is included in revenues also. But anything over $500,000 would require an audit. And an audit is significantly different than a review because even though it does also give assurance that the numbers are reasonable and accurate, an audit goes much further in analyzing the internal control and the whole accounting system, policies, and procedures.
Sure. And I can tell you, we get certainly lots of letters from your firm at the end of the year saying, hey, you're representing the association. Let us know what type of litigation the association is involved in. We want to know whether or not the unit owners can be subject to liability or whether or not the association can be subject to any liability as well. So there's a lot of digging that actually goes into an audit.
Absolutely. We don't rely on management schedules like we would in a review. Here we test the subsequent payables to make sure that we have all the accounts payable. We write to the attorneys, insurance companies. If there are significant construction contracts, we probably confirm with the construction vendor. So we want to get independent verification that the numbers are accurate.
All right. Now, what about really small associations, with less than 50 units? Are there some exceptions for them?
There are exceptions. If you're less than 50 units, you don't have to follow any of these rules. I don't necessarily agree with that philosophy because I think it's more the money going out than it is the number of people paying, but the rules are the rules. And so under 50 units, they don't have to do financial statements.
It doesn't make sense because you can have a small community, but a small high-end community with a pretty large budget. For some reason, the state exempts them from the audit requirements or the higher-end financial reporting requirements for some reason. Makes no sense to me either.
Yeah, though they do most times opt to do an audit.
Right. And I want to just recap something that you just said. I don't want it to be missed by our listeners. So you can have a budget for the year that falls under a certain category, but if you also had a special assessment during that year, you add the amount of the special assessment to the amounts of money you collect from your general assessments in order to get the total number, and that total number is going to decide what type of year-end financial report that you have to prepare?
That's right.
Okay. And all right, let's keep going. How about let's do this? Let's take a question from Josh from Boynton. How are you, Josh?
Hello?
Josh, how are you?
I'm great.
How can we help?
Okay. Can a condo association ask a new future condo owner to sign a document specifically stating that nobody can stay in their house without the owner being there for more than 30 days at a stretch?
Well, it depends. The bottom
and
line
it's
is
nowhere in any of the documents that we know of.
Yeah, then the answer is no. To me, that's going to be a restriction that absolutely unequivocally needs to be done in the Declaration of Condominium or the Declaration of Covenants. It's not something that could be done by way of rule. And if the board wants to accomplish that, they can't simply make that of its own volition. They're going to need a vote of the community. Okay. That's my two cents on it.
The condo association's lawyer put this document together, regurgitating what's in the condo documents, but as one of the items, they stuck it in there to jab it to the person. Remember, we're going to watch you, and you can't be there without the homeowner being there, or not more than 30 days.
Hey, you asked two lawyers for an answer to a question, you're probably going to get four different answers. So that's all I can tell you. But generally, if you're going to make those types of strict limitations on who can and who can't stay in a unit, my two cents is, and Scott, you can chime in and what you think. But bottom line is, I think something like that is a major restriction, and that's got to be found in your governing documents, in the superior document, which is your DEC.
I completely agree.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
and are you permitted to go into the office and show me? They quote documents all the time. This is the rule. This is the rule. Do I have the right to ask them? Show me the rule in the book.
You can send them at what's called a unit owner inquiry, asking them where it's found, and yes, they actually have to give you an answer within 30 days.
Also,
if they don't give you an answer within 30 days or 60 days if they refer it to counsel, if you guys wind up litigating that issue, then if they win, even if they beat you, they're not entitled to prevailing party attorney's fees. Okay, Josh,
also,
thanks.
If it's in the declaration, it's recorded in the public record,
right.
So you can find it there too.
Absolutely. All right, back to you, Mark. Let's say the association is required to actually spend all that money and do a year-end audit because their budget is in excess of $500,000. But they don't want to. This year they say, you know what, I know we're required to do an audit, but we're just not going to do it. We don't have the money. Can boards just ignore that requirement?
The boards can't. They can't go out and get an owner vote, a timely owner vote, which is during the fiscal year that they're going to audit. So it's already too late for 2014.
For 2014. And I understand if they can't waive that obligation to do that audit forever. There's a certain time limitation, right?
You can waive it for 3 years, but in the fourth year, then you have to do whatever's statutorily required.
And there's always confusion, by the way. People, you know, complain. I get emails all the time. They never mailed me the year-end financial report. They never mail it to me. But the truth is, there's no obligation to actually have it directly mailed to the unit owners each year, is there?
No, but they should receive some kind of communication notice that it's available, and then upon request, free of charge, they can get a copy.
Gotcha. Let's do this, Mark. Let's take our year-end, bottom of the year-end, you hear? Let's take our final break of the hour. And when we get back, I want to ask you about tax returns for associations. Do they have to be filed? The April 15th deadline quickly approaching. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
As a flood or other disaster struck your community, is your association in need of water and fire damage cleanup, floor care, commercial cleaning? Then call the company with nearly 70 years' experience. Call ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7. ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7 cleans upholstery, tile and grout, marble, vinyl and linoleum floors, even wood. If your association has suffered damage as a result of fire, call ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7 for help with fire damage restoration, complete structural cleaning, duct cleaning, smoke and odor removal, and more. Call ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7. If your association needs help with water damage restoration, water extraction, structural drying, floor drying, carpet cleaning, mold remediation, and odor and stain removal. A team of trained, caring, and professional water damage technicians will be on site quickly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When a disaster happens, call the regional company with the national response team. Call ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7.
1-866-969-6653. 1-866-969-6653.
Or visit ServiceMaster247.com.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? In South Florida, you have access to the finer things. Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Is your condominium beginning to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making it look terrible and putting your residents in danger? Are you under orders from the county or city to fix up the condo by a deadline? Are you in need of 40-year certification for your building? Then you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. Carousel does it all. South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor, located in Del Rey since 1979. Carousel knows how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate, 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700. If you want to see the work Carousel can do for you, visit the website cdri.net. That's cdri.net. Carousel Restoration, the cure for your condo. Call 561-272-3700. Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new. PD Painting is committed to provide quality service and long-term customer satisfaction. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10-year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. You can rely on PD Painting to tell you what you need in order to make your property look great again. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting, 888-416-3204. That's 888-416-3204. If you want to see photos of what PD Painting has done for other condos and homes, just go to pdpaintinginc.com. Again, that's pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer and Associates, and we're with Mark Gerstel from Gerstel, Rosen and Goldenberg from an accounting firm talking about reserves today.
And year-end financial reporting. And Mark, simple question, because you'd be surprised perhaps how many associations get this wrong, and it needs to be asked. But April 15th is coming up, and we all know that to be the deadline to file your tax returns. Now, even though all of our corporations down here, our associations, are nonprofit corporations, does that mean they don't have to file a tax return each and every year?
No, they are required, and for corporations, it's March 15th, so
March
it's not
15th.
April 15th.
So I've been wrong about that. So March 15th, so we're talking about literally about 3 weeks away for all of our associations out there to file a corporate tax return with the Internal Revenue Service.
Right. Now, if you're a residential community, there's a good chance you're not going to have to pay any tax, but you still have to file. If you're a hotel condo or a commercial condo, then you're probably going to have to pay tax.
Really? Okay, that is so important to learn, because sometimes we've had clients come in and say, no, we haven't filed a tax return in, 10 years. And that's probably what the IRS would love to find out, quite frankly. All right, how about we go to Bob in Fort Lauderdale. How are you, Bob?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question. Can a felon or a non-U.S. citizen or a non-Florida resident become a on the board of directors or the president of the board?
Okay, non-Florida resident or an illegal alien, yes, they can serve on the board. There's nothing that's preventing them from serving on the board of directors. But let's stop at your felon question, because that's important for so many reasons today. It's actually a hot topic in today's news. But both the Florida condo statute and the Florida HOA statute says that a felon is not eligible for board membership until such felons' civil rights have been restored for at least 5 years as of the date they're seeking election to the board. So that's the bottom line. Their civil rights have to be restored for at least 5 years. You know, have they voted in the elections, you know, things of that nature? That determines whether or not their civil rights were restored.
What about a tourist that comes in on a tourist visa for 6 months, like a snowbird from Canada or Mexico?
Well, the bottom line is, are they the owner of the property that's located within the association? And if the answer is yes to that question, that they're the owner of the property, then yes, they are absolutely entitled to serve on your board of directors. The exception being a felon, someone who's been convicted of a felony but has not had their civil rights restored within the last 5 years. And you want to talk about a great lead-in question, because each week it seems that yet another director in a South Florida condominium is getting arrested or being accused or investigated for stealing association funds from their neighbors. And just this morning, the front page of the Sun Sentinel talks about the DeSoto Park in Hollandale Beach. Again, front page, right there on the internet, where that president apparently has a felony conviction out of the state of Rhode Island a couple years ago. His rights were not restored, apparently. The unit owners in the community wanted him off the board. He wouldn't step down from serving on the board, even though he was advised that everybody knew about his felony conviction. And if that doesn't make you nervous, there's allegations, at least in the article, that reserve funds have been used to the tune of like $177,000 wrongfully. That's potentially money missing. The Hollandale police are investigating the situation now. So it's a big top story in today's Sun Sentinel. But again, it seems like, what else is new?
You just can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. It's really a story that writes itself, it seems, week after week. And, Mark, it's, pretty obvious. At some associations, the boards, simply go unchecked. We've had stories here, of directors who the unit owners actually loved, and it turns out that the president was taking their money and blowing it at the Hard Rock on slots. And, what should boards be looking for out there? What are the telltale signs of, like, wait a minute, maybe our board or maybe this particular board member needs to be looked at a little more closely than we're letting them?
Well, the lack of transparency is probably the best answer I can give. If you're not having regular meetings, no minutes, there's no financial reporting, a big one, there's no rotation of duties. Same person as the bookkeeper or the president for 10 years. Those are real telltale signs. Obviously, the monthly contracts, the utilities, the insurance, those aren't areas where there's associated a lot of risk. But when you're doing big jobs or reserve funds involved, those are the areas that you really want to focus on. And if you suspect something's funny going on, then you're looking to do something different than a year-end financial statement.
Right. Well, how about a lot of associations, and I've still seen this, and I can tell you I've had clients burned over the years this way, associations that are accepting the assessment payments in the form of cash.
Mm. Well, cash, and not only in the form of maintenance assessments, FOBs, or parking spaces, or whatever it may be. Cash is always a red flag. Use of credit cards is another red flag.
Right, that's common. I see every once in a while associations will have credit cards. Bad idea?
So is the misuse of those. Not a bad idea if the charges are checked regularly, not just looking at the sum total and signing the check. It's if the boards are diligent in their responsibilities to verify that goods and services were for association purposes, it's a necessary business tool.
Yeah, I would guess, and you could correct me if you think I'm wrong, is it less likely to happen when you have a management company on board, professional management, in terms of a president or a treasurer being able to walk off with association
funds? It's much less likely because there is a layer of hierarchy of supervision, so there's more people involved. It's harder to cover things up, so we see it more often, but not exclusively, with self-managed companies.
Right, and a good thing is at least associations are required now, because Jan Bergman and I from CCFJ, we made it a point to push this through for HOAs 2 years ago. They're at least required to have some sort of an insurance coverage that covers the amount of money that's normally on hand for an insurance company. Should an employee become dishonest and actually walk off with the funds, so at least that's a good thing. But Mark, thanks again for really helping our listeners out during this very, very busy time of year. And how about telling everybody how they can get in touch with you should they have any questions?
Sure. Here for Fort Lauderdale, we're in 954-389-1616. Palm Beach County, 561-447-4000. And in Dade, 305-937-0116.
All right. And how about your website?
www.grgcpa.com.
All right. How about telling everybody a little bit, actually, while we got you here, about the types of works that Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg actually does for associations?
Well, again, we do the standard year-end reporting and financials. We also get involved in forensic, but also we quite often get involved where there are special assessments that go over a long period of time. And not only the spending of the money, how was the money spent, but supervising the payoff of the loan is something that we get involved with, because a 10-year with sales involved, things can get ugly in a hurry, and all of a sudden we don't have money anymore to pay off the loans.
Well, explain what you mean by that. You're saying associations take out loans from banks and you want to make sure that their budget is adequately reflecting what's in there?
All those associations that waive reserves are facing special assessments. A lot of times the assessments are millions of dollars, and so what has happened is that the industry of banks coming in and loaning the money, because the work has to get done in 1 or 2 years, but we can pay it back in 3, 5, I've seen 10-year payback, so that the
right.
payment back is smaller. But in a 10-year period, you can imagine that a lot of people sell their unit, and then either you have to pay it off or step in.
Right.
And so managing the repayment of the loan is as difficult as managing the payments to the contractors.
Hey, one question off the cuff. A lot of times this time of year, or should I say when the year just ended, associations, some of them actually wind up having a surplus. There could be an extra $100,000 or $200,000 laying around. Some boards and some associations go through this. They don't even have a reserve account, let's say. Let's say they waive reserves. But some boards think it's okay to just take that money and say, hey, you know what? We're going to start one now. We'll start a reserve account. We'll roll it into a reserve account. And I'd just like your opinion on that, because I'm asked all the time, can the board just take my money that's in operating, take it, put it into a reserve account, instead of either giving it back to the unit owners or crediting it towards next year's assessments? Mm-hmm. You know, what's your thoughts?
I think it's a great question. First of all, if there is a surplus, it's not taxable. Secondly, if you should always maintain in your operating account 1 or 2 months as a cushion. So if you don't have that,
right,
don't be putting anything into reserves. But once you reach that 1 or 2 month cushion, then I guess it's somewhat of a legal issue. If the community doesn't want us having reserves,
right,
then do we have a right to accumulate those funds? Similar, you know, about the show expenses. Can you force
right.
something on us?
Right. I always took the position that, hey, that really is the unit owner's money. If there's a big surplus at the end of the year, in other words, let's say your budget is $1 million for next year. You want to roll $100,000 into next year, great. But now you should assess everybody only $900,000. I thought that's the way to do it.
We see it all the time. The only thing we caveat is make sure everybody knows that 10% is a 1 year only.
Right,
after
exactly.
that, it goes back up to the $1 million.
Mark, what can I say? Thank you very much again for helping out our listeners today. Again, what's the website, Mark?
www.grgcpa.com.
And again, thanks for being such a longtime sponsor of the show and for always helping out the guests, all the attendees at our seminars. Guys, thanks for tuning in for yet another week of Condo Craze and HOAs. We will see you again, same time, same channel next week. Have a great week, everybody.